We're going to be kicking off a series this morning entitled Empower. The title of the message is The Proof is in the Power. How many are ready for the power of the Holy Spirit to be released in this place? Afterwards, I just want to encourage, this was kind of a last minute thing for me as I've just been preparing. At the end, we're going to have a little bit of an anointing service. And so if you're on the prayer team, if you're on staff, if you're a deacon, we'd love for you to have up front. I've had some jars of oil over there, and we just want to anoint everybody that can stay. Just real briefly, 30 seconds, we're just going to anoint everybody in the room, and you'll hear the heart behind the message. On your way in, also, you got a card, Blessed People, Beautiful City. On the back of that is a declaration. I just want to keep this in front of you because this just isn't something that I threw out there at the Visioneers weekend. This is something that I want us to put into practice. And so as you're going about the city, put this on your fridge, put this in your car. But I just want to declare blessing over our neighborhoods, over our community, over our city while we're driving, because I want to see, how many want to see people's lives transformed? And so it's easy to curse your neighbor, but how many know God moves when you bless your neighbor? It's easy to curse your neighborhood, but it's better to bless your neighborhood so God can move. And so we want to see a blessed people blessing this city, to see it transformed. And so this is for you on the way in. Please keep that. And again, practice it. You can get a wristband as well. I have a wristband on. I've been wearing it every day. And it says a blessed people, a beautiful city. And so you can get one of those at the Info Center as well. One encounter with the Holy Spirit changed my life. And one encounter with the Holy Spirit can change your life. I'm sure we can all look back and we know that moment when we encountered the Holy Spirit and something powerful shifted in our lives. It's the reason why I'm standing before you today. In November of 1988, I had a powerful encounter with the Lord and was filled with the Holy Spirit, and it changed the course of my life. And one encounter can change the course of a church. Amen? One encounter can change the course of a church, a community, and a nation. You know, the Holy Spirit sometimes is treated as the weird uncle of the Trinity because we fail to teach from the Word of God that the Holy Spirit is a person. In fact, the Bible says that He's a gentleman, a comforter, a guide, a teacher, an advocate, who Jesus said in John 16:7, it's to your advantage I go away, for if I do not go, the helper will not come. I don't know about you, but I'd like to have a greater advantage heading into 2018. And listen, today is all about getting that advantage in your life. A greater advantage can happen because the work of the Holy Spirit is to manifest the active presence of God in the world through His church. Not through a building, but through His people. We are the church. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. As we embark on this series I've entitled Empowered, it's important to understand a couple things from the get-go that I want to make sure we have a clear understanding of before we dive in, and that is this. Number one, if you've trusted and believed in the name of the Lord Jesus, you are saved and the Holy Spirit dwells in you. Amen? Right? And so you don't have to speak in tongues to get saved. Okay, I just want to make sure we're on the same page. When you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. You are now alive in Christ, right? Dead to sin, but alive to Him, amen? And so I just want to put that right up front. 1 Corinthians 12:3 says, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Can we just say this one time together? Jesus is Lord. Okay, I think most of you are saved in the place. We can move on. If God is dwelling on the inside, you've been made alive in Christ, as I've mentioned. You've been born again. You have a new nature. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit bringing you to salvation. How many of you got joy with your salvation? Half of you. We got to work on that. Secondly, this series will not focus on the indwelling, but the importance of the empowering work of the Holy Spirit in your life and the life of our church. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you see, comes with facts. The fact that I am forgiven. How many are you thankful that you're forgiven? I am justified. I am accepted in the Beloved. I am adopted. I am one of God's chosen. And so much more. It goes, the list goes on and on and on. We are in Christ. Amen? Who we are in Christ. Nothing can change the facts of Christ's provision on the cross that we so remembered in communion this morning. But God doesn't just want to dwell in our hearts. He wants to overflow in our lives. How many of you could use a little overflow in 2018? You see, the empowering work of the Holy Spirit comes with a flow. The indwelling comes with facts. The overflow, or the empowering work of the Holy Spirit, comes with an overflow. The understanding, the sensitivity, and the awareness that the Holy Spirit wants to empower my life to change people's lives through His presence and His power. You see, God's intention is that His power would outflow from my life or overflow from my life. Your life, our family's life, our church's life, an empowered life that manifests, administrates, distributes the active presence of God to a world that desperately needs the life of that Jesus offers, the kingdom life. How many of you know someone that could use the kingdom life? Righteousness, peace, and joy, where is that found? In the Holy Spirit, Romans 14. So how does the Holy Spirit move through us? How does He begin to get activated in our lives? He empowers us for works of supernatural service. Everybody say the word supernatural. In other words, when we step out and we do something that's practical, it gives God an opportunity to do something that is powerful. That's why it's so important, listen, that you actively engage in serving the bride or serving the church. Why? You're not checking a box, checking off a task. If that's what you're doing, let me just say this. There is so much more available to you and I than checking off a box that you serve for an hour on a Sunday or a Wednesday night. What happens is when I do the practical, it opens my life up to be a vessel to see God's power on display. So listen, when someone comes in through those doors, just a practical illustration, and I shake their hand, you don't know what's happened in that person's life this week. Somebody could have slapped them with a hand or resisted them or walked right by them. They could be coming to this church, listen, on their last leg, holding on to just the last thing that brought them here. And when you extend a hand, that could be the hand of God to them. And so, listen, that practical thing that you're just saying, this is what I do, God says, yeah, that's what you'll do, but this is what I will do. I will change their lives. I've heard story after story after story of people, listen, just doing practical things that led people coming in to a powerful encounter with the Holy Spirit because that person said, yes, I'm just going to show up on Sunday and serve and be faithful. And God encountered somebody through their lives. That's what God has for us. You see, this is when God takes the practical and creates a miracle. It's when God takes our usual and does the unusual. It's when I show up and God blows up. It's when I put my hand to the plow and some way, somehow, God does the wow in our lives. You see, when we make ourselves available and activate our lives to serve, God activates the supernatural through our lives to impact the people we serve. That's why in Luke 24, Jesus said it was so important not to leave home without the leverage of God's power moving in our lives. Luke 24, 49, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. I love how the Amplified Version says. It says, listen carefully. This is what I want to say to you, church. Listen carefully to the voice of what the Lord is saying to us. Listen carefully to the Spirit of the Lord this morning. Listen carefully. I'm sending the promise of my Father, the Holy Spirit, upon you. But you are to remain in the city of Jerusalem until you are clothed, fully equipped with power from on high. What I want to communicate to you this morning is that there is a miracle dimension for Real Life Church that God desires us to walk in and experience together. Everybody say together. Listen, not for this little group over here or this group over here or that little weird group back there, but no, together we would experience the blessing and the power of the Holy Spirit. And listen, it's time for us to get on the same page. It's time for us to come together. Listen, you've got to be in alignment, and I've said this before, but you've got to get in alignment if you want to do the big assignments that God has for us. Listen, we've got to get on the same page doctrinally. Listen, we've got to get on the same page and encounter the Holy Spirit. This is His desire for us in 2018. That's why I'm not starting it off with a fast. We're going to do our fast in February. But listen, we need to come together on Wednesday nights and hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to Real Life Church. And listen, I am calling you to come, not to pray. I'm calling you to prayer, yes. Amen. Don't get mad at me. I'm calling you to come and listen. I'm calling you to come and just open your life to an encounter. Yes, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit in 1988, changed my life forever. But listen, I'm 48 now, and I need a fresh baptism and a fresh fire of the Holy Spirit. Listen, 30 years is too long. We've got to see a move of God right here in Sacramento. Listen, we will never walk in together what we're not willing to wait for together. And so what I'm asking, I'm pleading with you. What I'm saying is, you might be way down the road in the Holy Ghost, but what I'm saying is, come on Wednesday nights and just wait with us. Wait some folks to catch up with you. Listen, wait. So listen, what happens when we dwell together in unity? Psalm 133 says it's that place where He commands the blessing. How are you ready for God to command the blessing on Real Life Church? So all month long, we're going to be waiting to be fully equipped on Wednesday nights. We're going to kick off the year pursuing all that God has for us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Church, there is so much more available to us than we are currently experiencing. So much more. Everybody say, so much more. That's what December showed me. Listen, we've been barely getting by, bouncing low, high, all these different things. And God says, watch what I'll do. Listen, He said, Dean, don't get up there. Just say, close the gap. Just say, close the gap. Don't manipulate. Don't put out different colored envelopes. Don't do any of that. Just watch what I'll do. And what happened to me is what I see happening, listen, on the back, those numbers there, what I see, for me, that's potential. That's not a one-time event. How many know God wants to make the abnormal normal? Come on. He wants to make the usual unusual or the unusual usual. So much more available for our community when we allow the Holy Spirit to move through us. That's what this series is all about. Let's jump in the scriptures today. Ephesians 1, 13 to 14, just in case you didn't think I was going to go there. Ephesians 1, 13 to 14, in Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were, everybody say, sealed. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. Keep your finger there. Flip to Acts 19, chapter 1 through 8. Chapter 19, verses 1 through 8. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth. This is following the passage that Pastor Andrew read from last week. Acts 19, 1 through 8, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." Interesting. Verse 3, and he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus." Verse 5, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now look back at Ephesians 1, 13 to 14, and notice the progression of events that I just read in light of reading this passage he's describing in Acts 19. He says, "You also trusted after you heard the gospel of salvation. Having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." The great Pastor Jack Hayford, probably one of the most prolific Bible teachers of our time, said this about this particular passage. He said, "The sealing work of the Holy Spirit is not the same as the saving work of the Holy Spirit in this passage." "You were sealed" is seen by some referring to justification, but the term there, seal, is not used in that emphasis. It's different. Justification brings acceptance. Sealing brings authority. John 3, verse 33, "Whoever receives his testimony has set his seal of approval to this. God is true, and he knows that God cannot lie." How are you thankful that God cannot lie? Verse 34, "For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, proclaiming the Father's own message. For God gives the gift of the Spirit without measure." Everybody say without measure. "Generously and boundlessly," as the Amplified reads. You see, when we think of the word seal, we think of the sealing of a bag, like a Ziploc bag or an envelope, a licking of an envelope and sealing the envelope. But that's not how the word is used here. The seal in ancient times or biblical times was an ancient device, usually a signet ring used by a king or a government leader as a cylinder that engraved the owner's name or with some design with wax. It was used to mark goods, show ownership, attest documents, or impress an early form of a trademark. The most common use of the seal in biblical times was to authenticate written documents, letters, bills of sales, and the like. The word seal in the original language, the Greek language there, implies to set a mark upon by the impress of a seal or a stamp, in order to prove, confirm, or attest a thing, to confirm, authenticate, or place beyond doubt. How many are ready to move from a place beyond doubt? You see, our lives, if you take this definition of seal, our lives are living letters of God's grace that God authenticates and authorizes with the power of the Holy Spirit to speak to people in power that don't know him. 2 Corinthians 3:2, "You are epistles," which are letters. "You are letters written in our hearts, known and read by all men." How many know there's somebody looking at your life? There's somebody reading between the lines. Amen. "Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is of the heart." You see, our lives are a lot like this envelope. It's just a plain envelope. Just a plain old envelope, plain old empty envelope. How many of you just had that time in your life where things were just pretty vanilla? Right? It was just plain. Life, it was the same old, same old. But then, listen, and I got a life that says limitless right here, but then you accepted Christ, and that limitless life got on the inside of you, and things began to change, and things began to open up, and you began to see that God had a story and a plan and a purpose for your life. But the sad thing is that many Christians just stop right here. We just like being well packaged and having it all together as our goal. How many of you know Jesus said, remain in the city until you are clothed, fully equipped with power from on high? You see, without a stamp, I can try to send this envelope and it'll just keep coming back to me. I could put it in our mailbox and the mailman will look at it. He'll pick it up. He'll look at it, see that it's blank, see that it's not stamped, impressed with anything, authorized. And guess what he'll do? He'll leave it in the mailbox. He'll leave it right where it is. You see, that's where many of us are at. We've got Christ on the inside of us, but 10 years later, we're still in the mailbox waiting to be picked up and sent out and distributed. If I take it to the post office with my address on it, and it's got everything, but it doesn't have that $1.25 stamp on it, they might be $2.50 by now, I don't know, but you put that, how many know it's going to end up right back at 238 Montrose? It's coming back. And that's how many of us, we live our Christian lives. We try sending it out. But listen, we're not authorized. We're not stamped. We're not impressed. We're not sealed with the Holy Spirit. And we just end up right back where we started. And how many know in 2018, it's time to move forward, not just individually, but as a house, we've got things to do. But if I just take a moment, if I put the right amount of postage, I go to that self-service postage machine that confuses the heck out of me, and I weigh it, I put the right stamp on it, and I drop it in there. How many know the contents of this package, what's on the inside, gets distributed, and somebody is blessed by what's inside? You see, we have the limitless power of God on the inside of us that's waiting to be sent out. It's waiting to be released. It's waiting to touch somebody's life. I'm going to take some time, so just so you know. I'm just telling you, I'm winding down, I'm winding up, so... You see, with the right impression, if I will just wait upon the Lord with the right seal, with the right stamp, I can get to the destination that God is calling me to. Again, the proof is in the power of the Holy Spirit, seal of authority in your life. Again, the saving work is not the same as the sealing work. This is up on the screen, but the saving work, we experience regeneration, justification, redemption. I don't know if these are on there. They should be. The sealing work is authorization, certification, confirmation. So much more, but that's it in review. Now let's go back to the book of Acts, and we're going to rewind a little bit, and we're going to start in Acts 18, verse 24, that passage that Pastor Andrew mentioned last week. It says, now a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. Okay? Chapter 19, Paul's in Ephesus. This is the chapter before. He comes to Ephesus. He was an eloquent and cultured man, so he had his thing together, and he was well-versed in the scriptures. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being spiritually impassioned, he was speaking and teaching accurately the things about Jesus. How many know that's awesome that he was doing things accurately, saying things accurately about Jesus? Though he knew, listen to this, though he knew only the baptism of John. Sound familiar? And he began to speak boldly and fearlessly in the synagogue. And this is what Pastor Andrew mentioned last week. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside explain more accurately to him the way of God, the full story of the life of Christ. This is what I want us to see this morning. Are you guys still with me? Apollos was speaking the things about Jesus accurately, boldly, fearlessly, and yet Priscilla and Aquila pulled him aside and said, Apollo, there's more. There's the full story of the life of Christ. There's a fullness. Listen, there's a fullness that you know not of. And I just feel like the Holy Spirit would pull us aside on Wednesday nights, Real Life Church, as we kick off 2018, letting us know that there's more. Listen, what you're doing is great, but there's even greater things to come. There are even greater things to experience together in 2018. I'm telling you, God is lining us up. Just say, God is lining us up. He's aligning us. I got a call this week. I got a call this week from Jesus Culture. And they put me in touch. They said, hey, would you guys like to have Lisa Bevere on February 4th? Lisa Bevere is coming to Real Life Church on February 4th. Why? Because God is connecting us. He's connecting us. Why? Because we're going to another level in 2018. There's so much more than what we're currently experiencing. Doing things, listen, beyond what I could do. I don't even know Lisa Bevere. I've met her. I've shook her hand. But I don't know her. Listen, and she wants to come to Real Life Church. How many know God's getting ready to do something? I'm excited about that. I don't know about you. You see, it wasn't that Apollos was doing anything wrong. He was just limited by his own understanding, and this godly couple leads him to discover the fullness of Christ. Now, what's interesting is Acts 19, verses 1 through 8 says this, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth. So Apollos, he ministers in Ephesus with a limited view of the gospel, right? He's teaching things accurately about Jesus, but obviously he didn't know the full story. How many know the fullness had to do with the Holy Ghost? And the next place he goes from Aquila and Priscilla's place, or Priscilla and Aquila's place, is where? Corinth. What's Corinth known for? The spiritual gifts. The spiritual gifts. That's where we get our doctrine of spiritual gifts. All we believe is in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. And that's where he went on the next thing. It's interesting that he goes there. Then listen to verses 1. Paul, having passed through their upper regions, came to Ephesus, finding some disciples. He said to them, did you not receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said, into what then were you baptized? They said, into John's baptism. That's what Apollos' limit was. How many know God has something unlimited for us? And when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Paul is writing to the Ephesian church from his prison cell in Ephesians chapter 1. He's writing from his prison cells about 12 years later to the Ephesian church about this moment in Acts 19. Amazing thing, right? When you put it all together. Ephesians 1, and you can go through that chapter and read all these things. I'm going to summarize them. We won't take time to read it, but he says this. He's saying this about their experience. He's saying, hey, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He's chosen us that we should be children of God, predestined us. We have redemption lavished upon us. We have obtained an inheritance. We who were the first hope in Christ. And then he gets to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, and he personalizes it. He goes from we to you. He goes from we to you because this was a moment. This was an experience that they would recall. And he says in Ephesians 1, 13 to 14, in him you trusted. This is what we see in Acts 19. After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed. Come on, you were authorized in the power of the Holy Spirit. He said, you remember that? We're experiencing all these blessings in Christ. We're chosen. Yes, all of that is awesome. All of that is for every believer. He says in verse 13 and 14, but you trusted, believed, and were sealed with the Holy Spirit. And he goes on to pray a prayer of revelation that they would experience the limitless inheritance that we have in Christ together. And church, listen, I'm praying that 2018, we will experience the limitless power of God here at Real Life Church. Paul is reminding the church of Ephesus in Ephesians 1 of a life-changing experience and encounter with the Holy Spirit where he marked them. He marked them. He impressed them. He changed the course of their destiny. And this morning, I'd like our staff, our prayer team, those that are here, our deacons, Amy and I are going to come down, and there's oil right here. I want you guys to come right now, and I'd like to just anoint every single person that can stay, every family that can stay, as a sign this morning that more is coming, a greater release is coming, an advantage is coming by the way of the Holy Spirit to the individuals and families of Real Life Church. How many are ready for more? You guys are nervous, right? Listen, this is just a prophetic act this morning. We're going to pray 30-second prayers over you and anoint you with oil. You can get oil right over here. Amy, if you could pass that out to just spread it out across the stage. But listen, I want everybody to stand in this place. And listen, if you are desiring something greater, a greater release, this is what I woke up with this morning. I told Amy on the way here, there's a greater release that is coming in 2018. And listen, if you want a greater release on your life, listen, it's going to start here this morning. Greater promises, greater measure, the limitless life of God, He wants to do here at Real Life. I want you to come just as we would normally do, just as you normally do, just come. Find people. Look, they're going to pray over you 30 seconds and peel off. We're going to pray. Father, we thank you for the greater release that's coming to Real Life Church.
Yes,
Lord. We pray that in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name of Jesus, for a greater release, yes. Greater release. I pray for a greater healing anointing, God, at Real Life Church. I pray for a greater, God, anointing to minister and to serve others. Lord, I pray, God, that people would be set free. God, that the anointing that breaks the yoke, God, would set people free in the mighty name of Jesus. Yeah. We thank you. We're going to minister. If you have to go, go. But we want to anoint every single person that's here this morning.
Come like never before. Come like a rushing wind.